Banks are getting stress tests. Good morning, I'm John Hockenberry. How would you fare in a stress test? What in your life needs a stress test? 877-8-MY-TAKE.
Hi, this is John from Kingston, New York. I think life is a stress test.
Good point. How would you do if you were a bank? We're going to talk about that in just a moment, but send us your stress test ideas at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. I don't know if I'd want to be a bank, Farai.
No, not my number one thing. I might want to be the Pentagon or something. Anyway, stress test tomorrow, federal officials going to reveal the results. The big question is how banks' finances would hold up if the economy gets worse. And the bank test got us thinking, maybe we as individuals need our own stress test. I mean, don't most of us need to know whether or not we're ready to hold our own if we, you know, lose our job or get into credit card debt? To take that question to the next level, we invited a couple of listeners to do a personal finance stress test with our friend and financial guru, Gary Belsky. He is the author of Why Smart People Make Big Money Mistakes and How to Correct Them, Lessons from the New Science of Behavioral Economics. And, you know, Gary, how well do people generally do in assessing their own ability to deal with negative change?
By the way, I'd rather be the Federal Reserve. That way you could print your own money.
Yeah, you could, yeah, that's a great thing, having the printing press.
People generally do poorly in times of stress, and that's actually kind of a key point that I sort of want to make. I'll probably make to our listeners as well as everybody out there who are callers and as well as our listeners, which is that in times of trouble, people tend to rely on the most available information. In psychology, it's called the availability problem, which is that when something bad is happening, we assume that that's generally the state of the affairs right now. And what we know over the long run is short-term decisions under times of stress are often poor.
Really?
Yeah. And so what people need to do, you know, there's a very famous example of that was that traffic accidents rose significantly in 2002. And the reason why traffic accidents in the United States rose significantly in 2002 was because people were overestimating the likelihood that somebody would drive a plane into a building. And so instead of flying from Tampa to Cleveland to visit their in-laws, they drove, increasing the likelihood that they would actually die in a traffic accident. And so sometimes the available information is not the most important information.
Can I just get an explanation of the bank metaphor for a moment for the purposes of this little experiment? Banks are required to put reserves aside to show that they're healthy. If regular sort of citizens were required to do that, would we have to have boxes of money all over our house to be able to project that, okay, maybe we're in debt, but we're actually much more financially healthy? Is that what a stress test is all about for a person?
Well, fundamentally, I think there's a couple things that come into play. One is, are we prepared for emergencies? Meaning, are people still making their insurance payments and things like that? And by the way, by insurance, I actually mean not just health insurance, but disability insurance. That's one of the things that's really important that people often underestimate is the likelihood that they're actually going to be out of work for a time, right? And so that's really important. So one, do you have safety nets built in? Two, do you have income coming in? Obviously, do you have a job? And three, do you have money to keep your lifestyle going for some short period of time, 6 months to 9 months, which is usually how long it takes most people to find a job in the event that you're unemployed. Do you have savings? Or, by the way, do you have credit card debt that has lines of credit? And it's, you know, you don't want to carry credit card balances, but it's awfully good to have credit cards around in case you do get into trouble.
All right. Well, I want to go ahead and introduce one of our listeners. Bridget Lindsay is joining us from Oklahoma City. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So from what I understand, you're married with two sons and you had gotten laid off from your job, but you are doing something really exciting. Tell us just quickly what you're doing.
Well, my husband and I are opening a restaurant. I say we. It's really, he's opening a restaurant and I was going to go do, have the insurance, have the job with the insurance and the benefits because he's always been the breadwinner. And he was going to go open this restaurant and bar. And as it turns out, 2.5 weeks ago, I got laid off. And now we're both about to open a restaurant.
Bridget, let me ask you a question. When do you still have insurance, meaning are you going to use your COBRA option and actually keep your insurance going?
I got a very generous, in my opinion, severance package, which the company that I was laid off from is going to continue to pay my COBRA premiums until around the end of the year, in fact.
Well, that was a sigh of relief you just heard from me, because that's actually the most important thing, to make sure that your basic kind of emergency situation is covered, and it sounds like it is. First of all, you're one of my favorite people, and not just because you're living in a state where the state capital is the same name as the state, but also because I like the idea of sort of investing in troubled times. One of the facts that I like to tell people these days is that Fortune magazine, which I'm sure you've heard of, right, the Fortune 500,
absolutely,
it's sort of the dominant business magazine. It started in the teeth of the Depression. Henry Luce started that magazine when the U.S. economy looked like it was never going to rebound. And so in general, in these times, the people that often win are the people that actually have a long-term outlook as opposed to a short-term outlook. And it sounds like that's what you folks have. How are you going to live day-to-day going forward? Are you going to be counting on the money from the profits from the deli, or is there going to be a salary for your husband involved?
We actually built into the financial loan, the loan that we set up to start the business includes a monthly salary for him, which will support our family through the next year to... We could manipulate that in the future if we needed to. In addition, like I said, I'll have severance payments coming in from the company that I was laid off from till about the end of August, and that frees me up to work very cheap.
All right. Well, Bridget, I want you to stay with us, but we've also got Jen Rood, who is joining us from Madison Heights, Michigan, just outside of Detroit. You had just started a new job after being out of work for months. Gary, advice.
Well, Jen, first of all, congratulations on getting a new job. You're actually not that alone. One of the things that should make Bridget and you happy is the fact that in February, I think 4.8 million jobs were cut, but also 4.5 million jobs in this country were added. So there's lots of reasons to think that over the long run, we are slowly going to climb out of this economic dullness or torpor that we're in. But the one thing I want to ask both of you is, Jen, you just started your job about a week and a half ago. Do you already, and I know you have a lot of credit card debt and things of that nature, are you planning to at least start out by paying yourself a little bit money from what you're earning? Meaning, one of the things that people tend to do in these kinds of situations is panic a little bit and forget the basics. And the basics of people who have jobs is saving for the time when they don't have jobs, which means whatever you're making, some small percentage of it, even if it's $50 a week, needs to go into an emergency savings account. Are you doing that, or are you planning to do that?
I'm planning to try to do that.
Don't try. It's really important. You are the first person you need to pay, even before your mortgage and even before your credit card debt or other kinds of debt. You have a lot of debt, right?
Yeah, quite a bit. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is credit card debt?
A lot of it is credit card debt. I also have school loan debt.
Okay. Well, the school loan debt and the credit card debt are actually more manageable than people often realize. In both cases, you can actually get a lot of help from the people who lend you the money, right? Both the government from the school loan debt and the credit card companies are often very willing to negotiate and sometimes even forgive debt in the event that you're having problems. The key with both of them, and this is what people often forget in times of stress, that's what we're talking about, is that you actually have to talk to them. You actually have to call them up and let them know that you're having problems, and they will go out of their way to have to not write off your debt, but rather to actually work with you and stretch it out if you need to sort of allow you not to default. And that's actually an option that people need to take advantage of, and they'll often help you by forgiving some of the debt even.
So if the creditors are the shareholders for Jen, where's her TARP, Gary, huh?
Well, first of all, hopefully maybe her TARP is, you know, her mom and dad or people like that who love you. It's actually not embarrassing to sort of say that you have to depend on people around you who actually sort of might have a bigger financial cushion. But her TARP is her job. She actually has a job. Congratulations. And that's actually an important.
Right. Thank you.
Well, you know, it strikes me that up on the screen right now on one of the other news organizations, CNN, it's saying that Bank of America's stress test shows it needs $34 billion. Maybe just quickly you could ask what these folks might need to cushion.
Well, the thing ultimately that you want from people to have is, Jen, do you have any savings at all? Or Bridget, do you guys have any savings at all?
I have some savings. It's been depleted and not really been added to because I actually was laid off for about 5 months last year, and then I lost my job again this year. So it's been really difficult for me to really try to save like I was a few years ago, due to, you know, the pay cut in the last job that I had and trying to catch up from the 5 months that I was off work. And
okay, but you have savings now, right? I mean, you have income coming in now, right?
Well, I do have income coming in now, yes.
You know, the rule of thumb is always to sort of have 6 to 9 months of savings, you know, for basically your basic living expenses. And in a funny way, it sounds like Jen had that and sort of burned through most of it, which is appropriate. But now that the key, again, is to maintain the level of savings is to keep contributing to your savings account even as you start paying off a lot of your debt.
All right, guys, we are going to have to wrap it up there. But I, you know,
it's all about reserves.
It's
right?
Just
it's all about reserves.
So exactly. Critical. Jen Rood, Bridget Lindsay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yep, come,
and of course,
you come visit Midtown Deli.
Okay, we will.
In Oklahoma City.
Okay,
yep, and Gary Belsky, thank you. It's smart advice there, which is much needed. I'll take it.
My pleasure.
It sounds like those two, if they had not even close to $35 billion, would be doing a lot better.
They'd be doing okay, but so would I, actually.
Right. I could use just $1 billion.
Yeah.